This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 12. Today, we will be discussing Thanksgiving Day proclamations. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hample. Should the leader of a nation issue calls for religious activity on the part of its citizens? Would it be right for a president or prime minister to ask his or her fellow citizens to pray for some cause which affects the nation? Currently, in my home country, the United States, it seems that on the part of American society, the answer to that question is increasingly no. There is a lot of discussion and debate in America today about the role of religion. Some look back to key events, documents, and individuals to make the case that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. Others look to distance our culture from a Judeo-Christian influence which, if history is to be done honestly and without censorship, was clearly there to some degree in the past. Statements made by our third president, Thomas Jefferson, concerning a separation of church and state are often used today to make a case not so much for freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. In Europe, the drafting of the European Union Constitution only a few years ago met with a similar battle as debate went back and forth concerning as to whether or not to mention the role of Christianity in Europe's heritage of history. Wherever one stands on this issue, whether here in the United States or in whichever country you live, the evidence of documents from the past show that early American presidents were willing to make references to the Christian faith and did not see those references as improper for their role as political leaders. There are a number of presidential proclamations in which the sitting president called upon the American people to set aside a given day for a specific religious activity. We'll be looking at two distinct categories of those proclamations. The first is a call for a day of fasting and humiliation. Once again, we need to remember that the meaning of certain words in English have changed over time. 200 years ago, the term humiliation did not refer to embarrassing, degrading, or insulting someone. It meant the act of humbling. To call for a day of humiliation was to call for a day of seeking God in humility. Calls for a day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation went back to the colonial era of America. There were several of these calls issued by presidents of the United States. I will provide a link to a webpage with the text of several of these presidential proclamations on the Restoring the Core website for this episode. A proclamation for fasting and humbly seeking God in prayer was issued in 1798. It arose in light of problems which the United States was facing with British interference with American shipping on the high seas. Sailors from captured American ships were being forced into service for the British Navy. As a result, the following proclamation was issued by President John Adams. By the President of the United States, a proclamation. As the safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and the blessing of Almighty God, and the national acknowledgement of this truth is not only an indispensable duty which the people owe to him, but a duty whose natural influence is favorable to the promotion of that morality and piety without which social happiness cannot exist, nor the blessings of a free government be enjoyed. And as this duty, at all times incumbent, is so especially in seasons of difficulty or of danger, when existing or threatening calamities, the just judgments of God against prevalent iniquity, that means sin, are a loud call to repentance and reformation, and as the United States of America are at present placed in a hazardous and afflictive situation by the unfriendly disposition, conduct, and demands of a foreign power, evinced by repeated refusals to receive our messengers of reconciliation and peace, by depredations on our commerce, and the infliction of injuries on very many of our fellow citizens while engaged in their lawful business on the seas. Under these considerations, it has appeared to me that the duty of imploring the mercy and benediction of heaven on our country demands at this time a special attention from its inhabitants. I have therefore thought fit to recommend and do hereby recommend that Wednesday, the 9th of May, next be observed throughout the United States as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens of these states, abstaining on that day from their customary worldly occupations, offer their devout addresses to the Father of Mercies, agreeably to those forms or methods which they have severally adopted as the most suitable and becoming, that all religious congregations do, with the deepest humility, acknowledge before God the manifold sins and transgressions with which we are justly chargeable as individuals and as a nation, beseeching Him at the same time of His infinite grace through the Redeemer of the world, freely to remit all our offenses and to incline us by His Holy Spirit to that sincere repentance and reformation which may afford us reason to hope for His inestimable favor and heavenly benediction, that it may be made the subject of particular and earnest supplication, that our country may be protected from all the dangers which threaten it, that our civil and religious privileges may be preserved inviolate and perpetuated to the latest generations, that our public councils and magistrates may be especially enlightened and directed at this critical period, that the American people may be united in those bonds of amity and mutual confidence and inspired with that vigor and fortitude by which they have in times past been so highly distinguished and by which they have obtained such invaluable advantages, that the health of the inhabitants of our land may be preserved, that their agriculture, commerce, fisheries, arts, and manufactures be blessed and prospered, that the principles of genuine piety and sound morality may influence the minds and govern the lives of every description of our citizens, and that the blessings of peace, freedom, and pure religion may be speedily extended to all the nations of the earth. And finally, I recommend that on the said day the duties of humiliation and prayer be accompanied by fervent thanksgiving to the bestower of every good gift, not only for His having hitherto protected and preserved the people of these United States in the independent enjoyment of their religious and civil freedom, but also for having prospered them in a wonderful progress of population and for conferring on them many and great favors conducive to the happiness and prosperity of a nation. Given under my hand, the seal of the United States of America at Philadelphia, this 23rd day of March, A.D. 1798, and of the independence of the said states, the 22nd, by the President, John Adams. These calls for prayer, fasting, and humbling are not well known today. It is remarkable for those of us living today to try to imagine a current President of the United States as one reaction to foreign political problems, calling upon the people of the United States to humbly seek God in prayer for a solution. Also note that even in the midst of this very serious call to prayer and fasting, there remains a request to be thankful to God. While not well known, perhaps better known are the presidential proclamations for a day of Thanksgiving. Of these, the best known is Abraham Lincoln's call for a day of thanks in November of 1863. That call came in the middle of the most bloody war in terms of American casualties that my nation has ever been involved in. In these numerous proclamations, the president made reference to the historical circumstances of his time and how being thankful to God is the logical consequence of acknowledging those blessings and that they came from the hand of God. President George Washington issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation in 1789. Keep in mind the historical context. George Washington was in the first year of his presidency. He was residing in what was then the nation's capital, New York City. The United States was also in its first year of government under its current constitution. This was the start of America's second attempt at national government as an independent nation since the first attempt under the Articles of Confederation had failed after the end of the Revolutionary War in 1783. The following is Washington's proclamation. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, he's referring to the Revolutionary War, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceful and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord 1789. Signed, George Washington. Let me add a historical note. Shortly after the Thanksgiving Proclamation was written, it was lost for about 130 years. The original document was written in longhand by William Jackson, secretary to the president, and was then signed by George Washington. It was probably misplaced or mixed in with some private papers when the U.S. Capitol moved from New York to Philadelphia, and then to Washington. The original manuscript did not find its way to the National Archives until 1921, when Dr. C.J. Fitzpatrick, Assistant Chief of the Manuscripts Division of the Library of Congress, found the proclamation at an auction sale at a New York art gallery. Dr. Fitzpatrick purchased the document for $300 for the Library of Congress, in which it now resides. It holds the record as being the first ever official presidential proclamation issued in the United States. I want to bring these documents to your attention as a kind of snapshot of how the early leaders of my country recognized a place for God in their culture and also encouraged the American people in activities such as prayer, fasting, and the giving of thanks. From their reading of the Bible, these leaders knew that a ruler of Babylon understood this back in the 6th century before Christ. The testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar takes up the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. In this account, Nebuchadnezzar gave praise to God and recognized God's relationship to earthly rulers in these words: "That the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whom he wishes, and sets over it the lowliest of men." It is good for rulers of a nation to recognize God and that he put them in their position of power. Psalm 22:28 reminds us that the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. We would do well also to heed the warning given us in Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked will return to Sheol, and Sheol is a term for the land of the dead. It's simply another way of referring to the grave. The verse itself says, "The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God." Whether you live in Canada, Mexico, France, Russia, Pakistan, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Poland, the United States, or one of the other almost 200 nations existing on earth today, it is good and proper for a nation to give thanks to God. For as the psalmist says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.